Well, hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of A Queen's Roundtable Show and Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Jacqueline Kabah Harrison, and we rock the show out every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with the exception of holidays. So it's been a couple of weeks. You know, been celebrating, bringing in the new year, Christmas cheer, right? All of that good stuff. So, you know, we've been on a little bit of a break, but we are back and ready to go. Super excited to continue the Born to Lead docuseries. And this Born to Lead docuseries actually stemmed out of the book anthology project, which was Born to Lead, Awakening the Leader Within, which was actually launched in September of 22, right? I want to say last year, but it wasn't 2023. It was in September of 2022. It was launched, Born to Lead, Awakening the Leader Within, which basically celebrated the innate leadership abilities in African-American women. So the Born to Lead docuseries is where I interview different women entrepreneurs. And we talk about leadership. We talk about their role in leadership. We talk about some of the challenges of women and Black women in particular in leadership. Some of the women are working their way up to the top in their corporate careers. Some of the women are entrepreneurs. But we talk specifically around the area of leadership. So if you are in leadership, if you are sitting on the fence, not sure if you're a leader, I want you to know you are. We all have innate leadership abilities. I truly do believe that. And we want to be able to fine tune those leadership skills. So each guest is going to share different things about her personal journey. And we are going to end on a note with giving you practical tips and tools about how to basically up your leadership game. So my next guest, got to get her bio right here in front of me, that's going to be joining me in the studio. Her name is Cheryl Mays. She is the Chief Experience Officer, six-time author award-winning international speaker, Amazon best-selling author. She's an on-air personality and corporate trainer. As the president of Rise and Shine Consulting and Coaching Firm, she provides consulting services and training for individuals, teams, and organizations on customer experience, customer service, and customer support. Cheryl is a contributing writer for the Entrepreneur Magazine, founder of Affirm Your Truth, the Affirmation Movement, and we're definitely going to hear more about that. I'm excited, really excited about that part. Podcast host of the Customer's Tea. She graduated cum laude with a BS in Business Administration, Lean Six Sigma Black Belt, Neuro-Linguistic Programming Practitioner, and a Jack Canfield Certified Trainer. Today, she sits on several nonprofit boards and serves in a variety of roles. And on a more personal note, when she's not working, she enjoys spending time with her family, her church, traveling, running marathons, and taking on the trails with her two four-legged partners. So that is Ms. Cheryl Mays. We're going to welcome her now to the studio. So make sure you're in a comfortable environment. You have a pad and a pen and pad, so you can take some notes. And also make sure you subscribe to the Eight Queens Roundtable channel here on YouTube, so you can stay up to date with all of the upcoming projects and upcoming interviews. All right, so let's welcome her to the stage. Well, hello there, Ms. Cheryl Mays. How are you today?
I am doing fine, Dr. Jacqueline. Listen, I shared with you earlier, I am telling everybody happy prosperity year.
Yes, I love it. Thank you so much. Wow, can you believe it? We're in 2024.
I know. Thank goodness. Thank you.
She said, thank goodness. Right. It's a brand new year. A brand new year. Wow. So it's really exciting to have you here on the show. So I want to know, tell the audience a little bit more about you. I know I just read your bio. So, you know, just kind of let us know a little bit more about how all of this came to be. I mean, you know, you're involved in numerous different things, and I want to hear about them all. But like, how did this come about? Like, are you currently a full-time entrepreneur? You know, if so, how long have you been an entrepreneur? What, and even basic things like, what state are you based out of? Do you do everything virtually? Do you have a home office? Just kind of let us get a little bit more acquainted with you, Miss Mays.
Absolutely. So I am an entrepreneur. I'm an entrepreneur, and my career actually started in corporate. So I started in corporate, frontline. I'm one of those people that's just out there in the field, running and running from business to business, really trying to gain more insight on how I can perfect what I do, because I'm always about growth. I mean, it's always about growth, and it's not necessarily about perfection, but it's about excellence. And how do we operate in excellence? And so I spent probably 7 to 8 years actually out in the field. In corporate, I worked with several nonprofit organizations as a director of development. So fundraising, raising millions of dollars for national nonprofit organizations. And then I went into education. And so I became the, which at that time it was called a high school coordinator. And that's really where I started really getting engrossed in speaking. And so that was for a career training institute, and we had about 100 plus campuses nationwide. And so I went up the ranks. So frontline, then became a regional director, and then became vice president of admissions. And so I've had that trek, that journey of where you say you actually grew up on the job. That's what happened to me. I literally grew up on the job, and that's where I really got my passion for helping other people succeed. And so today I spend both virtually and in person, either speaking on stages or in a training capacity of helping people get from where they are to where they want to be, rather it is in leadership. I love working with new leaders because I don't think we give them the support nor the opportunity to have more information about their role before we put them in the role. And then we end up going, oh, okay, maybe that wasn't a great fit. Well, we owe them. And so I love working with new leaders and really helping them to level up their skills and understand what their responsibilities are as leaders. And then I have the opportunity of also being able to work in customer service. Which when we talk about customer service, people go, okay, wait a minute, that's huge, right? Because we know customer service has in some instances gone downhill. And so we have the opportunity of being able to sustain our business. And that's the huge capacity for me, is sustaining the business so that not only you grow and you scale, but you have longevity. Nobody wants to meet the statistics, right? We know the statistics is 5 years. I think it's 25% of businesses go out of business within the first 5 years. Then when you get to year 10, it's like 45%. And when you get to year 15, there's less than 60% of businesses actually survive the 15-year span. And so I want to help businesses get beyond that. And a lot of times it's dealing with your customers. How do you keep bringing them back? Right? What's their journey look like? Are you creating a memorable experience where they just want to run and tell people about it and bring you new customers, keep coming back. And there's a reciprocity that comes from that. And so, you know, that was my trek into doing what I do today. And so I have the opportunity of being able to travel. I have the opportunity of being able to work from home. Yes, I do have a home office, which is a beautiful thing because the drive-in is nothing. To go in from my coffee mug to my actual office is probably about 3 minutes in traffic. So that traffic is my four-legged friend. So I love being able to have that home office, but I also like getting out and meeting people because we have to do that. All right. One of the things about leadership is that you have to continuously network. And when I was a new leader, I didn't do that very well. I did not navigate that political terrain. I didn't build the alliances. And so that was a life lesson for me, because when I came to start my own business, it was like starting on ground one because I didn't have the alliances intact. And so I had to reach back out, reintroduce myself. And so I learned a really good lesson, how important it is to stay connected.
Okay. So, you know, definitely I want to make sure that we touch on that, or actually more than just touch on that, is building those alliances. Because like off the top of my head, you know, I think that's probably very common. And a lot of ladies, you know, that are in entrepreneurship or break out there and start their own business probably have gone through something very similar, or maybe getting ready to break out there, start their own business. And this could be something that they could be working on before they actually, you know, jump out into the water, so to speak. But I wanted to ask you just a little bit. I'm glancing here at your bio, and I know you're a best-selling author. Mm-hmm. So you are a on-air personality. And I wanted to ask you about that. Now, do you have a particular show?
Yes. So I had two shows that were actually on Roku. They were on Fire. Was it Fire TV, Amazon Television? And it was about business. The first one was Maximizing Your Potential. And it was all about business owners coming onto the program. And I like people that are innovative. People that are doing things that other people might not even know about. And so I searched high and low to find those individuals that was bringing something different to the landscape for businesses, especially small businesses. Okay. And then the other one was, because I am an author, I did it Author's Lounge, where I was the VP of Dreamspire Books. And so the television show again was on Apple TV, Amazon Fire. I think it was like almost 200 million viewers, that sort of thing. But it was about authors being able to come on and talk about their books, you know, and that really stemmed from the pandemic. One of the things that we learned in the pandemic was that everybody was trying to do something. They were trying to do something to help someone else. And so I got with a group of authors and said, listen, we're storytellers. So that's what we did. We came on, we told stories, we had an opportunity to entertain and introduce. Okay. So they got a chance to introduce their books, whether it was one or 10, whatever it was, but they had an opportunity to voice their work, their crafts. And now I host the Customer's Tea, which is really about, it's twofold. And it's a little unique in its formatting and in its concept, because I bring customers to the podcast and they talk about their experiences. We know for a fact that businesses don't always look at surveys, or they don't always respond to the feedback that they've been given. And so customers get to come on and they get to discuss, you know, what was your experience like? Whether it was good, whether it was bad. And you get to tell us, what would you have liked as a resolution? And then the other guest on there is the business owners that are doing amazing things with their customers. And they want people to know, hey, look, this is what makes us different. This is what makes us unique. Mm-hmm. And so I have an academy, and it's called Master the Sale Academy. It's all about customer service. And it's leadership courses in there, because I think leaders that understand the impact of exceptional customer service can help their team members. Because there's that dissemination that has to happen from a leader to a team member that says, this is what it is like to feel valued and appreciated. When I value and appreciate my team members, they in turn value and appreciate our customers. Then what happens? Employee engagement increases, employee morale increases, turnover lessens, and they feel better when they're engaging with customers.
Right. Right. So the big, because I was just getting ready to go to that too, about the podcast. So the focus is around customer service and the importance of customer service and providing that experience for your customer.
Absolutely. You know, in the customer service is that topic where people go, oh yeah, I know what that is. But there's a whole philosophy and a psychology behind customer service, because you have the ability to drive behaviors. Mm. And when you look at it from that angle of driving a behavior, and what's the behavior? Well, we want them to come back. Mm-hmm. We want them to increase their frequency of purchasing. We want them to extend their services. We want them to tell other people, and we want them to become our brand evangelists, is what I call them, when they go out and spread the good news about your business. No, that's the fivefold reciprocity that happens when you provide exceptional customer service.
Okay.
And so that's the angle that I bring to the table when I work with businesses.
Okay. Now, this may sound like a, you know, maybe for you, I don't know, a silly question, but just for individuals that may be kind of on the fence or may not really understand fully what is meant when you say customer service. Mm-hmm. So when I think of customer service, I think about, you know, whether regardless to what the product is, whether it's, you know, consulting services, whether it's even something like this, having a guest on the show, you know, or maybe having someone participate in one of your virtual symposiums, mm-hmm. or whether it's an actual product, you know, maybe you're a publisher, you know, maybe you actually have a clothing store. So kind of tell me, what would be an all-inclusive way of describing or fully breaking down customer service?
Sure. So we look at it from three areas: customer experience, customer service, and customer support. So okay. Customer experience is the overall. It is the entire, from me thinking about what I want to purchase until the very ending of me making the purchase, receiving the services rendered, and then what happens thereafter? What's the post communication? The service itself is the actual interaction.
Okay.
Am I smiling? Do I have that professional image? Am I empathetic? Am I understanding? Am I able to relate to my customer's needs? And then the support is the final piece of, okay, now they've purchased, they've gotten what they want. Now there might be some issues. There might be some problem resolutions that need to take place. So when we think about service, oftentimes we use the definitions interchangeably, but they actually mean three totally different things. Most people are familiar with the term customer service because it's antiquated. Is we've heard that from, you know, I don't know, Sears and Roebuck, right? Customer service, which back then they didn't have to have so much customer service because they were the only people that did what they did. Today, there's 37.1 million small businesses in the US. So if you sell candles, you're not the only candle seller, right? If you're in car detailing or even car dealerships, you're not the only ones. So what makes you different? What makes you different? And so what's your competitive advantage? It's not pricing, because there's always somebody cheaper. So it's not going to be pricing. It's going to be, how do you engage with your customers? How do you manage those customer relationships? That's what makes you different. That's what I like to call the unicorn effect. And what makes you a unicorn, where people say, hey, I want that.
Yeah, I like how you kind of, you know, went through that in terms of the three steps. And also, like you said, it's just a million and one. People have, or customer service is more important today in 2024. I was going to say 2023, 2024, because of the fact that there are so many choices, right? Mm-hmm. There's so many different opportunities. And, you know, you have to set yourself apart. You have to set yourself apart, right? Especially if you want that word of mouth, you want that person to come back. You have to look at it in its whole totality.
Mm-hmm.
So I, you know, okay, thank you. Thanks for going through that. And I know that that was helpful for me. And I'm sure that, you know, some of the individuals that are going to watch this, they're going to be like, oh, okay, I know exactly mm-hmm. what she means now. You know, so, okay, good. Thank you for sharing that. So that's the podcast, which is the customer's tea. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Excellent.
That's the podcast. And then accompanying that is the academy.
The academy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. in the academy, is that how does someone join the academy?
Yeah. So the academy, the sole focus of the academy is customer service. Mm-hmm. And so what I've done, Dr. Jacqueline, is I've taken customer service out of the sales process. Oftentimes when you get training, especially in sales, the focus is on overcoming objections. It's on making the sale. And then there's probably about this much on dealing with customers and customer service. So I've literally extracted it out of the sales process and gave it legs of its own. Okay. And so the academy is surrounded about customer service and how do you use that as a business strategy? So okay. there are six different, what I call experiences that one can take, their course experiences. And they range from the basics, right? How to provide an above and beyond experience. Then it goes to communication. How do we effectively communicate with difficult customers? Because that's something that is a art, mm-hmm. right? That's an art. Then it talks about, another one is about referrals. Another one is for leaders. I have a master class and it's called Mastering Customer Service for Management. And then the other one is called, the final one, which is the sixth experience, is called Crafting Your Perfect Pitch. Oftentimes we find in business that people can't pitch. Right? You can't express what it is that you do because there's so much passion in it. Right. And we know oftentimes passion doesn't sell. People want to know about results.
Right.
And so how do you couple the passion with the results, but make it so entertaining that people go, wait a second, we need to talk again. Right. Now you've just set up an appointment.
Okay.
So those are the opportunities that you have. Now, those are all virtual. So, and they're live. I don't like self-paced.
Okay.
These are all live courses. And so you actually get to come in. You've got a live facilitator where you can ask questions. It's real world applications. It's hands-on experiments, not experiments, hands-on activities so that you walk away understanding, right? Sometimes we go on trainings and we leave and we're like, oh, that's great in theory and conceptualizing, but to be able to do it, that's another thing. And then when you get ready to implement it, you're like, well, gosh, they didn't say what happens if this happens. So I like for people to come into the course and be engulfed in actually doing it so that you can understand it. So when you walk away, you can implement.
Okay.
Now, are you teaching all of the facets or do you have like a team and everyone specializes, you know, in a particular segment, I guess?
So I have a team, but for the academy, I'm the facilitator.
Okay. 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 Okay, so let's shift slightly. Well, actually, let me just look at the time. We are going to take a quick commercial break. And then when we come back, I want to talk about leadership. And I want to go into, you know, like what are your thoughts, you know, about women in leadership? And I want you to share with us, well, I'll ask you some different questions to be able to kind of dive into the leadership piece when we return.
Okay.
So we're going to go to a quick commercial break, everyone. As soon as I find it. Oh, here we go. Okay. All right. We'll be back in less than a minute.
Realizing Your Potential LLC presents Born to Lead, Awakening the Leader Within. This anthology brings together women that have overcome hardships in their lives and have managed not only to survive, but thrive. Their stories focus on resiliency, adaptability, and strength, acknowledging the innate strength and leadership qualities in African American women.
Right. Welcome back. Welcome back. Okay. So as you know, this is for the Born to Lead docuseries. So I'm focusing, honing in on being able to help other women, whether they're in corporate positions, whether they're entrepreneurs, whatever the case, and to help them fine-tune their leadership skills. So I guess first, I always like to initially ask, when did you, or two questions. When did you really start to see yourself as a leader? And what is your definition of an effective leader?
Yeah, I started to see myself as a leader when I was in the field and people started pointing at me. Right? It's like, you know, when you're doing what you do, right? And you're just, you know, it's innate. And you're just doing what you do and you don't realize to the level of excellence that you're performing until people go, hey, have you seen what she's doing? And then you start getting, you get into different conversations. Different people want to have conversations with you. Different people want you to train their people. Then it dawned on me, wait a second. They want me to train someone how to do what I do. Mm-hmm. That says something, right? Because you're sending people from out of state to come and shadow me. So that says, I must be doing something. I must be doing something. And so that's when it really dawned on me that, okay, this training thing is really interesting to me. And it just came so easy because I love to see people that have the mindset of, I'm not sure. I don't know if I can. And then something shifts. Right? And then they say, wow, I didn't know I could, but. I like to be on that other side when I hear that I didn't know I could, but I did it. That for me is like the sun comes out, the clouds, you know, they vanish and everything is right. Everything is in this vibrant color when you come into your growth aspect. It's like everything that was in black and white is now in color.
Okay.
And so that's when I realized that my advice for folks that are leaders, I have a business mentor, and he and I would meet quite frequently, especially when I started the business, which now I'm into year six of my own business. And so we would meet regularly and, you know, I would bounce things off of him because he's very successful in what he does. And he's actually in my first book also. He's one of the entrepreneurs that I interviewed in my first book. And one of the things he said to me, and we always talked about leadership because everybody, regardless as to what you do, whether you're in your house, you're in a ministry, you're in a girls and boys club, you are a leader. And when you start to believe that, then your behaviors accommodate that. And then people see you as an example. So you don't have to have the title officially that says you are a dot, dot, dot in order to be seen as a leader. And so one of the things that he told me, he said, you know, the role of a leader is to get better, to help other people get better, and then to get better at helping other people get better. Okay. Now, it sounds like a rhyme within an enigma, within a mystery, but the simplicity of it is, as leaders, the more we grow mm-hmm. and the more we help others grow, that's the role that we play. That's what you are supposed to do. If you're a leader and you're not bringing people with you, you're not elevating people, you're not helping people ascend in their careers, then I think you're not a leader.
Okay.
You know, you could, you know, we have differences between bosses and managers and leaders, right? We can get into this, you know, into the definitive definitions of all of them. But what it boils down to is that as a leader, and I always talk about, and I train on servant leadership, mm-hmm. because I believe servant leaders are the ones that empower other people. They encourage other people. They motivate other people. And then what happens when you do that, those individuals bring their best.
And you call them servant leaders? Best,
yeah. Right. And when they bring their best, you shine.
Okay.
Because they want you to.
Okay. Now, is that a whole, like a sect of leadership, the servant leader, or are we using those terms interchangeably?
No, servant leadership is one where you truly know that your role is to serve others. It's okay. To get better. It is to be a servant.
Okay.
And when leaders go into leadership thinking, oh my gosh, I'm a vice president. My office is in the upper right corner and I don't have to talk to certain people, right? You're not getting the job done. And if you are, it's not sustainable.
Okay.
Right. Sustainability, even in leadership, comes from those that you bring with you, those that you highlight, those that you show you can do this. And as leaders, we have to believe in people more than they believe in themselves.
Okay. Now, but so do you think that is so kind of leading into qualities and characteristics, mm-hmm, of, you know, someone or a good leader, not just someone in leadership, but a good leader? Would you say that the servant leader, or having the servant leader thought process, is under that umbrella of the characteristics of being a good or a successful leader?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I absolutely
what you were saying, and I totally agree with that. But go ahead and elaborate a little bit more.
Yeah, it absolutely is, because as a leader, you know, you have to there's a couple of things with servant leadership. Number one is that you have to have humility.
Okay.
Right? As leaders, we have to have humility. Right. And that's understanding that we have the ability to stay grounded. In other words, the title doesn't mean much to me. You know, when I was a director, I still took out the trash. I walked over to the dumpster. Right. I lifted that dirty thing up and I put the trash in there, you know, and that was just what I did, because it just needed to be done. It wasn't my assignment. Nobody said, Cheryl, take out the trash, but it needed to be done. And so that's what I did. Okay. And then, you know, you have to have this self-confidence, this level of self-confidence that says, I don't know everything, and that's okay. Right? I don't know everything, and that's okay, but guess what? I can surround myself with the most incredibly talented individuals and let them shine, and then we get it done. Right. And then the other thing is, I have to have balance and perspective. I mean, when you have balance and perspective, you have the ability to realize that your thoughts are not the only thoughts in the room. Your ideas are not the only ideas in the room. But I can listen, and then I can weigh, right? What's the best way for me to do this? But if my thoughts are the only thoughts that I hear, you know, what's that saying? If I'm the smartest person in the room, my room's too small.
Right.
So, I, you know, when you think about that leadership role, you have to have humility. That's the only way you're approachable. If you're not approachable, then you don't know, you're not in tune with your team. You don't know what they're thinking. You don't know when somebody is in the place of exiting, right? You just don't know. You woke up and you'd be like, I thought they were happy. It's like, no, they haven't been happy for months. They've right. been on, you know, they've been at their lunch break looking for jobs.
Right.
When you're not in tune, right, with your team, because you're so standoffish and you're not approachable. And, you know, there's that other element of being mindful, being in the present. Mm-hmm. You know, are you giving people that value of time? And that was something I had to learn.
Now, what do you mean by say that? The value of time. What do you mean when you say that? You had to learn giving people the value of time? Well, what do you mean by that?
Yes. The value of your time, you know, as leaders, we are like, oh my gosh, you ask any leader and they're going to say the same thing. I am always so busy. I'm always so busy. And, you know, I got so much to do. And so you don't necessarily make the value time when you're talking to your employees. So, for example, I remember, I'll tell you a very quick short story. When I first became a leader and I had 25 campuses. So I was a division leader and I had 25 campuses. So I had a lot going on, but I was flying in and out of different states because that's where our campuses were. And I would sit and I would talk to one of my staff that would come into the office, but I was on the computer. I was on my phone. I was in conference calls. I was in meetings. I was sending out emails and they were talking. And I was like, mm-hmm. And I was still doing what I was doing. And then one of them pointed out, because I always told my team, sometimes you have to manage up. In other words, you have to help people help you. And when you see something, right, say something.
Okay.
And so I had one of my employees that said, Cheryl, we love when you come. But when you come, you're always on a call or you're always in another meeting. Okay. And it dawned on me then that the purpose of me coming to this campus, the purpose of me jumping on a plane, right, at 5 o'clock in the morning and being here for 4 days was to spend time with my team. And I wasn't doing that. And so that made me think. And so what I did was I picked up the phone and I called my leader and I said, listen, what am I supposed to do about these meetings? She said, don't get on them. And I said, thank you.
Okay.
Which was so simple to make that request, but I didn't because I thought my role was to be everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? And so I wasn't being of value to my team.
Okay.
And when I learned how to be of value to my team, I could see better their strengths and their weaknesses.
Mm. Okay.
And then I was able to be of better help to them.
I was just getting ready to say that. Okay. So being there, cutting out those extra distractions, like what did that allow you to do? And you just answered it. You said it allowed you to be able to see, actually see your actual employees better in terms of what some of their strengths were, some areas that they may need to work on and things of that nature.
Yeah. And even, you know, Dr. Jacqueline, sometimes we don't even know that they have kids.
I've been there.
We don't know that their kid plays soccer, you know, that they're getting ready to go to the championship. We don't know these things because we don't have that value time.
Right.
Right? To just ask the question, how are you today? And I don't mean work related.
Right.
No, what's going on?
And being, you know, transparent and really, and being genuine with it. That's the word I'm looking for. Being genuine with it. But how does someone, and this is, okay, now you really got me curious about this, but how does someone do that? I guess, like in my mind, I can see that playing out when you have a smaller team.
Mm-hmm.
But how does that play out when you have such a huge, when you're over so many people?
When you're over so many people, that's when you start to delegate.
Okay.
Right? Which is something that we don't do. A lot of leaders don't like to delegate because, oh, I can do it better myself. And if I have to spend the time to show somebody, I might as well do it. Well, I don't look at delegation as giving somebody a task that I don't want to do.
Okay.
I look at delegation as giving someone an opportunity to strengthen their skill sets.
Okay.
So now if I have different people working in different areas, looking out for certain things, now I can meet with a select group of individuals. Which means I don't have to listen. I don't have to really look at all 50 of my people. And I can look at 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I can give each of them 5 or 6 people to look at.
Mm.
And now they can pinpoint to me, okay, this is where this person is struggling. How can we help them? This is what's going on with this person. And so now I'm better communicative to individuals because I got the really quick pieces of it. And now I can ask better questions.
Okay.
Right, questions of importance, questions of meaning. And I think sometimes we don't ask great questions. You know, we ask those surface questions, like the question of, you know, how you doing? Well, that's a loaded question. What do you mean?
Yeah. So what would you recommend instead of saying, how are you doing? That's the surface level.
Mm-hmm.
Give us something that, or rephrase it, I guess.
Yeah, I would say something like, you know, how was your weekend? What did you do exciting over the weekend?
Okay.
Right. You know, what are your hobbies? Right. Tell me, you know, so we can get in touch with the person's, their individuality, because here's the reality. And this is how it works. Okay. When we get ready to motivate people, people aren't always motivated by money. Right. So what motivates John is not the same thing that motivates Amy.
Exactly.
Right. John might be a title money driven individual. OK. Right. But Amy might just be, you know, just say thank you.
Right. Yep.
I think, in, you know, we talk about love languages, but we also have love languages in work.
I was just getting ready to say that because you're right. And it's like I'm a, you know, profession wise, you know, I'm a therapist and every individual is different. You know, every individual that comes in for therapy, everybody is motivated. The whole change process, you know, when you're really looking at what what motivates this individual to change? Everybody is different. Just like how you mentioned about each employee, you know, some of them are motivated by, you know, I don't know, becoming supervisor one day, you know, so people are motivated by different things. And if you're trying to get individuals, because, you know, if you're working for a company, you have a particular goal, and everyone needs to come together and pull together to reach that common goal. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if but is the right word. Everybody is an individual. Everyone is different. And you have to figure out what motivates these different individuals to be able to do the job, to show up as the best version of their self, right? To do whatever job it is that they're being, you know, being hired to do, basically. And it's not necessarily like it's a manipulation tactic, you know, it's nothing like that. It's just helping people to be a better version of themselves, or to be able to produce, you know, at the level that you need them to produce, to meet the whatever the goal is for the organization or the company.
Yeah. And the thing is, leaders, you know, we always want people to give us more. It's like, what have you done for me lately?
Right.
Right. But when you're thinking about the individual, if I know you, right, and I know what you're seeking, and I know that, listen, this person wants to be a manager. This person here, they don't want to be a manager, but maybe they want to flex time. Right. Maybe they got a kid that they need to take to school. Maybe they just need to come in a little hour later so they can stay an hour, you know, come in an hour later so they can stay a little longer. Right. I need to know those things, to your point. So people bring their best, the best version of them. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have to worry about them looking for another job on their lunch break.
Right. You must have had that happen because you mentioned that a couple, or either did it yourself.
I think we all have at one point or another.
Yes. So you know what? So let's lead into this, because I know that I wanted you to talk to us a little bit about affirmations. Mm-hmm. So what would you say are some of the beliefs, some of the, I guess, hierarchy of beliefs of a leader? Of a good leader. And I know that we've been talking about that, but I want you to talk to us a little bit more about your affirmations and how you utilize them and why you think that they're extremely important.
Yeah. You know, as leaders, we have amazing goals. We've got goals that we've either given ourselves, right? And we have company goals. Hopefully the personal goals are elevated past the company goals, because that means you're definitely going to make the company goals. That's the way I always looked at it. And you know, how do we get ourselves into the mindset? Because everything that we do first starts with the thought. Right? So how do we get ourselves into the mindset of being overachievers or super high achievers? Right? Three things that high achievers have is, number one, they have an unusual clarity. In other words, I can see it, I can envision it, and I can tell you what it looks like. The other thing that they have are disciplines of success. And my disciplines of success are my habits. And what are my habits that I have that are serving me? And how do I realize when a habit isn't serving me so that I can move it out of the way and be able to adopt something else that is more beneficial to what I'm trying to accomplish? And then the third thing is to be 100% responsible for my results. In other words, I can't blame anybody. I can't, you know, complaining doesn't work. How am I responding? Right? Because we all have, in everything that we do, we have what I like to call this wished for outcome. Right? There's something that you want to see happen. So how do I get there when I'm here? Well, I can't blame the event, which could be anything. It could be the economy. It could be, you know, I didn't get the best team ever. You know, we always hear this thing was, I was inherited a team. So I might not have gotten the best of the crop, right? But that doesn't mean that we don't get to do what we're supposed to do. And so I have to put myself into a right mindset, because if I'm in the right mindset, then my team is going to follow. So if I'm walking around with the woe is me, you know, who is that? Winnie the Pooh, the donkey, Igor. if I'm walking around like him, woe is me, then my team is going to be like, yeah, woe is me. They always give us so much work. We're never going to get it done. And so that's what I transcend to my team. But if I am speaking words of positivity, we can do this, right? I am powerful. I am fearless. I am worthy of my success. When I speak these words, my behaviors change. And when my behaviors change, my actions change. And my actions change, then my results change. And so there's this linkage to understanding that the first thing that I think about, how am I going to play that out? Well, we know that by noon, you're going to get beat up, right? Something's going to happen. A client's not going to come through. Somebody's going to say something that throws you off kilter. Something is going to happen that takes you from that mood elevator, right? To take you from, you know, a place of curious or absolute to this place of, oh my gosh, when is it 5 o'clock yet? And so what is it that you do? Well, I have to keep building myself up. Because when my team sees that I can overcome, they can too. And so that's why I love the movement. And the mission of the movement is to be unapologetically bold, to be confident as you move beyond your fear and walk into what might seem impossible, but it's not, because you are enough and you are worthy of your success. And my goal is to reach 1 million people that can actually look at this shirt that I have on right now, which is Affirm Your Truth, which is the collection that I have. And I also have an I Am collection where you can get leggings, you can get t-shirts, you can get baseball caps that says, I am fearless, I am capable. So there's 7 different sayings that you can have, and they come in an array of colors. But what it does, Dr. Jacqueline, is when you, not only do you think about it and you speak it, but what happens when you look in the mirror and you see it? Right. Man, you're talking about compounding interest. That right there is a compounding interest that says, you know what? I can only defeat, the only person that can defeat me is me.
Right.
And so I love to talk about speaking positivity because it does wonders, not only to our mental state, but for the way we operate, the way we interact with others, the way we even move within the world. Mm-hmm. All of that comes from the way we think about it.
Right. Now, have you always been like that, or is that something that you've learned over the years?
You know, I like to think that I've always had this element of positivity because I'm the youngest in my family and I'm the only girl. And so when my brothers stayed home, went to school home, I was gone. I was like, as soon as I hit 18, I'm on a plane. Right? I am out of here. And so that's what I did. And so I took up in, you know, various states and found jobs and made friends. And so I've always had this outlook of, yeah, I got this. I can do this. And it connected me to different people because people see that energy. Mm, okay. And it's like, you know, you look at somebody and you're like, man, they got this aura around them that you just want to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And then you see people where you're like, nah, I had too much drama. Right. I can tell that's a drama. That's a drama aura right there. Yep. I want no parts of that. And so you're drawn to people that have this positive aura floating around them, and it becomes so visible because you can see it in their face. You can see it in their, you know, in their movements, and you can definitely hear it in their voice.
Right.
And one thing that people always say to me, and it's just who I am, is that, oh my gosh, I love your energy. And it's like, I get excited about life. You know, I just get excited.
Mm-hmm. I could tell. And you're right. So many people just kind of drag through, mm-hmm. or just kind of, you know, like just go through it in like a mundane, you know, type of way. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're right. I mean, I'm very drawn to your energy. And, you know, as soon as when I met you for the first time virtually, I was like, okay, you know what I mean? And you're right. You do. You have awesome energy and just, you know, a zest. You know, I could tell that you're really happy with yourself, and mm-hmm. you know, you're living your purpose out, you know, and it shines through.
Thank you. And not to say, right, that all coaches don't have those bad days where we're like, oh my gosh, I need to go back to bed, put that cover over my head, right? And hope this day just goes away. It's just that we have tools.
Right.
Right? We have tools that we can readily grab onto and get us out of that funk.
That's right. That's right. Because we're all human.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we have ups and we have downs. We have, you know, bumps in the road and things of that nature. But like you said, you know, it's about utilizing your tools, mm-hmm. and, you know, learning from those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know, learning from those experiences. So, yeah, I totally agree with that. So we have this has been great. I mean, this has been so informative, and it really gives me a different way of looking at customer service. I already have some of my own thoughts about how I'm going to make some improvements in my own business. So, mm-hmm. you know, yeah, thank you so much for your wealth of knowledge. Let the audience know where they can find you exactly. Like, for example, your social media handles, your mm-hmm. website, things of that nature.
Absolutely. So the best place to find me is on LinkedIn. I am on all social media. LinkedIn is The Cheryl Mays. I have a YouTube channel where I give customer service tips. The interviews that I do are also on YouTube, and that is YouTube at The Cheryl Mays. Instagram, again, The Cheryl Mays. And my website is risingandshine.com. That's where you get a chance to look at all of the books that I've written. You get a chance to look at the programs that I've talked about, the academy. You get a chance to look at the coaching, all the speaking. So you get an opportunity to dive into my world and see what I'm all about.
Can you spell your website address out? I'm not sure. Is it like rise and or in?
Rising, RISINGANDSHINE.com.
Okay.
Rising and Shine. Now, the company itself is called Rise and Shine Consulting and Coaching Firm.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure having you on the show. And, you know, I'm pretty sure that we'll cross paths again and collaborate again at some point. But it was wonderful having you today, Cheryl.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jacqueline. It's always a pleasure. Like you said, when we first met, we vibed. And I just know that we're going to have a great relationship moving forward in the 2024, because this is prosperity year.
That's right. Prosperity year. Well, thanks again. And audience, thank you for joining us for A Queen's Roundtable Show and Podcast. This is the Born to Lead docuseries. So if you caught us in the middle, make sure you go back, catch the very beginning of the interview, reach out to Cheryl Mays. Go to her website, find out all that she's doing and all of her, you know, ways to connect with her and different upcoming projects that she has, and or purchase some of her t-shirts. Right, exactly. Some of her t-shirts. So make sure you reach out. Make sure you support. Make sure you subscribe to the A Queen's Roundtable channel on YouTube. That way you can get alerts and so forth of when we're going to be going live and basically what's coming up next. And if you are interested in being a guest on the show to spotlight your business, your anthology, your upcoming event, or you know, maybe you're rebranding, or you just want some more awareness, or you want to be a part of the Born to Lead docuseries, definitely look me up. Follow me on Facebook, LinkedIn, not so much Instagram. I mean, I have an Instagram, but I'm not as active on there. But you can definitely follow up with me on either Facebook or Instagram, or go to my website, which is realizingyourpotential123.com, or Facebook. I am under Realizing Your Potential 123, and I'm on LinkedIn, Instagram, and I have a Facebook under Dr. Jacqueline Kaba Harrison. So thank you all again, and join us next Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another awesome episode for Born to Lead docuseries. So stay tuned, everyone. And thanks again, Cheryl. We'll connect soon, okay?
All right. Take care.
All right. Take care, everyone.